Thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peek. As you can tell, it's a little bit dark here if you're watching this on YouTube. I woke up a little bit early. You ever have one of those moments where you're sleeping and your brain goes, not today, son, you're going to get up and embrace the world. So that's just one of these days today. This is a little bit bright. Let me see if I can turn this down a little bit. Oh, wrong one. Wrong button. Wrong lever. All I could picture is Emperor's New Groove. Anyway, let's discuss stuff I heard. Okay. It's been an interesting week. Lots of things going on that are unseen on the daily life of the podcast, but also unheard because a lot of you are listening to this with your ears. So let me try to paint you a picture. Over the past week or so, I have completed a project that I was working on building a table. I have gotten into woodworking a little bit, and I've spoken about this before, because of my friend Greg's mother, Donna. I'd gone to visit where they had built a cabin, log cabin, just her and her husband, Frank. And looking at the house and looking at the wood, I was just amazed. And she had these slabs of wood leaning up against a wall. And I looked at a certain piece of wood and I couldn't describe the feeling that I had. And I basically just convinced her to let me have the piece of wood. I offered to buy it from her and she was like, what? And I was like, I can't explain it. I don't know why, but I feel like I must make a table out of that piece of wood. She was like, have you ever made a table before? And I said, no, I have not. Since then, a lot has happened. I've built many tables and many chairs, never knowing how to do any of this. Certainly, while trying to go online and look at research of how to properly build tables and chairs and seeing nobody doing the way I've been doing them. I don't know if it's insanity or if it's genius or if it's wrong. Sometimes the best thing in life is trial and error, right? Sometimes you can do a thing and then go, did I do that right? And then it turns out that you did. Sometimes you could try to do something and you go down the path and realize, oh, this was just a big mistake. Why did I do this? And I've kind of lived life that way. You sort of have to, right? I mean, whether it's anything in life, if there's something that you want to achieve, you have to first try. Nothing gets done if you just sit there and think about it. You have to physically do the thing. And when I'm building these things, I am constantly thinking about what the wood is doing, how it feels, how it looks. There's a lot of going into the thought process of what could this be? Because sometimes I'll have an idea of something I want to build. And as I'm starting to work with the wood in front of me, the wood says, no, I don't want to do that. And it will, I'll make an error or I'll do something wrong. The wood itself might not withstand the limitations of what I want it to do. And I have to adjust. And then the process, sometimes I have to scrap in a whole project. I've made a YouTube video about that, trying to build a tie rack for my ties out of a piece of cedar. The first version that I built fell apart as I was building it multiple times. The second version that I built held up pretty good until the final steps, and then it fell apart, and I had to repair it. And rather than give up on it, I adjusted everything that I was doing to make the tie rack as it was. And it ended up being beautiful. I had watched some things about Japanese pottery, how they don't throw away broken dishes. They meld them and mend them with gold, and that the imperfections and fractures of that pottery over time makes it more beautiful because of the flaws. And because of the flaws, there's gold there. And, you know, the same is true about people. As you're coming into contact with people, as they grow and as they learn and as they develop, you realize that people, there's a lot of people who just try to not make waves. And then once in a while, you come across an individual who is completely different, who you can tell has been through some things, and that's character. That character is sometimes the best parts about them. When I was younger, I read a book my dad had recommended called They Whisper. And in the book, basically it just says that it's not the things that are alike that we remember. It's the things that are different that make us remember, that make them more beautiful, that make them more special. The flaws are the things that we appreciate. Even though we don't talk about it, it's the thing we appreciate about each other. It's the thing that makes us individuals, right? It's the art. It's the beauty. It's the thing that separates, that makes it special. So with this table that I built, I think I said something along the lines of, you know, I like to work with cedar wood because it's very easy to work with. There is a red center called the heart and a white exterior called the sapwood. The sapwood, over time, if you were to leave it alone out in the woods, worms will eventually eat all of the sapwood away, but they won't eat the heart. They'll leave the heart. When I'm building a project, oftentimes I'm building from wood that has the sapwood intact, especially if it's a larger piece of a trunk. And depending upon the conditions in which it grew, you could have more sapwood than heart or more heart than sapwood. I've noticed that when I've gotten some cedar from parts of Georgia or North Carolina, where there's a higher clay content, the heart of the wood is a lot deeper and darker red from this eastern cedar that I'm getting, which is apparently an offshoot of juniper. It's what I'm reading about as I'm learning. But anyway, so as I'm working on this wood that I have available, and I'm starting to remove some of the sapwood to reveal the heart, the heart doesn't grow in a uniform way. It tends to move throughout and grow in different directions based upon limbs that are there or weather conditions as it was growing. Parts of it are larger than others. Parts of it are deeper in color. And I like to expose some of that wood as much as possible because that's the part that looks beautiful. That's the part that everybody's like, oh my goodness, look at the color. That's so pretty. Yeah, it is. But a lot like us, it's unpredictable and it has to be revealed. It can't be hidden all the time. But if it was just red, like if the whole thing was just a brilliant red and whatever, you wouldn't appreciate the red, right? You got to have some of that other stuff, some of that white outer layer of sapwood, kind of covering up parts of it to reveal the red, to make it look like a contrast, to make it look beautiful. And my wife asked me, she said, why don't you film yourself making this stuff? And I told her, I said, I can't. I really can't. Not that I couldn't set a camera up and just do my thing, but I think it would be boring for people to watch. And correct me if I'm wrong. Send in your messages and let me know. Am I wrong? But I think that having a camera on me is a long time of me studying it on the wood and removing layers and making mistakes and doing things that most people who make things out of wood would probably look at and go, you're an idiot. I can't believe you're doing that. And there's a lot of it that I would want to explain. But if I explained it, then I'm making videos and I'm not creating a table and I'm going to make crappier tables because I can't use that part of my brain that creates a table to also make video, if that makes sense. I just don't have that brain to do both at the same time. And maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe I do set a camera up. I don't know. But anyway, the tables ended up beautiful. I'm enjoying making them. I'm enjoying making them. That's the bigger thing. When I film myself do a thing, there is more of a work ethic involved in my brain of make sure you get this angle, make sure you talk, make sure you get this in post, take some still shots here. We want to make sure we get this for that. There's a whole lot of thought process going into making a video for YouTube. When I'm building the project, there's a whole lot of thought in, let's study this line, let's cut this away. What is here? As I'm removing layers, is this going to work? Am I doing this right? And I'm not concentrating on which way my body is facing the camera, which way the camera is looking at me. Is the lighting okay for you to see it? Is all this other stuff that listen, there's plenty of YouTubers out there that can do that kind of stuff. And they will show you all the little pieces as they go through it. And I've done that before on, you know, mechanical things or fixing things. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I really feel like this thing that I'm doing, building these chairs and these tables and such. First off, I don't want somebody to be on there and criticize me on the thing that I'm enjoying. Because let's face it, YouTube is full of a bunch of haters. They just love to get on there and talk crap about what you're doing wrong. I know, because I have videos since 2011 on YouTube, and most of the comments I get are, oh, you're so stupid. Why did you do that? Oh, you talk a lot. Why don't you just get to the point? Shut up. Just shut up. You're not doing the thing. And it's discouraging for younger people who want to create things, because I'm sure there's people out there that have in their mind the idea they want to create something, but they're nervous to do so because there's a whole bunch of people that'll just get on the stupid computer and do their 2 cents worth of criticizing them and trying to pull them down. And I don't get it. Now, there are projects like movies and television shows that I talk about on here, and things that I like and things I don't like and whatever. I mean, people's time is limited, and I figure I am uniquely in a position where I talk about this stuff on a regular basis. And I'm trying to help people find things that may help them or give them some entertainment or some joy. And so I comment on some of these things. And my goal is not to make these people get out of the business or hate the fact that they've done their job. But it's to save the rest of us some time from having to watch the stuff or spend time into it. Or maybe it's a conversation I want to have with people about, oh my goodness, I can't believe this cool project, and I wish somebody else that was into this would talk to me. My hope was to build community out of the things that I enjoy and the things that I am interested in and have people to talk to about these things. And I've been able to do that since the beginning of this podcast. I've been able to do a lot of that. I feel like it is helping. I feel like it is connecting with people. It is giving people some type of feeling of community and hope and conversation that they didn't have previously. You know, I want it to grow to be more, but I don't know that I have the energy or the extra set of hands available to build the community that's needed. You know, there's a lot of other people doing the same things. I'm a big fan of comedians, and many of them have podcasts that are wildly successful, and they're able to do that with the help of a team of people that can create content on a regular basis and respond to things and create Discord channels like Time Suck. And that's great. I love being a part of that too. But at the end of the day, I'm just me, and I'd only have so much energy and time and thought pathways and hands. I only got two hands. So yeah, we do what we can, right? So anyway, I'm making tables. I said all that to say this. I'm making tables. I'm enjoying it. if you like it, that's great. I feel weirdly peaceful when I'm making the tables. And if I'm having to make a YouTube video while I'm making the tables, I feel like I'm going to be stressed and I won't want to make tables anymore. I had people offering me money for some of the stuff I was building, some chairs, and actually sold a couple of chairs, which helped pay for more wood and more supplies, which I'm extremely thankful for. But my brain goes into hyper mode of trying to run a business and how much would it cost and how much should I charge and how much is artistic and how much is just to fill an order. And it's not enjoyable. I don't want to do that. If I happen to make some stuff just because I like making it and then it gets sold, great. That's great. I would much rather that than someone request I build something for them. And then I'm weirdly, as I'm building it, trying to think to myself, I wonder if they would like this. Maybe I should do that. Maybe they, because then you end up into a pattern of trying to fulfill what someone else may want or not want, instead of doing the thing that I was doing before, which is listening to the wood as I start to remove layers and start to craft the thing and adjust it as I go and go, well, that didn't work. Oh, but this worked. I'm not building the tables that look like you get it at IKEA or Walmart or Ashley Furniture or anything like that. Nothing against them. This is one of a kind things. I've had tables in the past where my wife or someone around me has mentioned, why don't you just buy the legs and put them on? Why don't you just do the top and put on this metal bottom? Well, because that number one, the metal is expensive. And I don't have that kind of money. Number two, if I build the legs are part of the piece, and the legs sometimes are unique in the way they're built. And sometimes they're the part that you notice the most. I always think about the tree of life and how, you know, in the painting of the tree of life, it shows the trunk being, you know, steady and strong like a trunk of a tree is. And then you have the branches that go out above, but you also have the roots, and you get to see where the roots spread and how they spread out just as far as the branches. And it's the roots that really make the tree strong. Well, the same goes true with a table or chairs. It's the things that are underneath that you take for granted sometimes, which actually have the real appeal of what makes them different. I mean, you think about it. A table is just a top, right? It's just a piece, just a flat piece. A chair has a flat piece with a piece on the back for your back. Okay. You can just have those. And then who gives a crap what the rest of it's built like, right? Unless it looks different, unless it looks special, unless it looks like it's one of a kind, like it's had some time and thought process put into it. Or I don't know, if I'm using these pieces of wood and they're different when I start taking away the outer layers of sapwood and the heart reveals to me some unusual pattern of growth and I'm able to make that work, it becomes the thing you look at more than the tabletop. It becomes the thing that you go, wow, okay, that's pretty cool. Because just like people, it's not the exterior that we're really fascinated with. It's the stuff on the inside. So, and at the end of the day, I made this comment to my mom. At the end of the day, it still serves a purpose. And it couldn't serve the purpose without all of it. All of it has to be there, just like us. The good, the bad, the messy, the funny, the serious, the flawed, whatever it is. It takes all of it to do what we do and to appreciate what we are. So, yeah. So anyway, let's talk about some stuff I heard or stuff I saw. How about that? On Amazon right now, there's a movie called Role Play with Kaley Cuoco. The whole time I'm watching this movie, I watched it this past week, I kept thinking about her role on Big Bang Theory, and I just wanted to picture Sheldon around every corner just knocking on the wood going, Penny, Penny. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I liked her role in Flight Attendant. I thought it was very cool to see her branch out a bit and really show some acting. And this is another version of that, I guess. I know that she just had a daughter kind of recently, and I kept thinking about how to talk about this show, this movie, because in this movie, she's supposed to be like living a double life as an assassin and as a mom. And her husband thinks that she's off on business trips, and really she's out doing assassin-y stuff. Is that a word? Assassin-y? I think I just made that word up. But while I'm watching her, you know, part of me is amazed that she's able to branch her career towards doing something like this. And another part of me is like, yeah, but it's Penny. Like, it's still Penny doing the thing, you know. And listen, nothing to take away from Kaylee. I'm sure she's a fully evolved woman and has thought about this before. And, you know, she's still a star no matter what she does. I don't fully buy into her being an assassin, but that's okay. This was done well enough that you go, okay, no, Penny's an assassin. Cool. I guess because I've watched her for so many years play Penny on Big Bang Theory that I just picture Sheldon Cooper running around the corner going, I don't feel comfortable with this. but yeah, it's good. It's good. It's weirdly okay that Penny's an assassin. But I mean, it's not like the person's going to transform into a character that you're like, I didn't even think about the fact that they're Penny. You know, certain actors and actresses, it takes a while for them to get out of that role that they were known as for their whole life. Some of them are able to morph into different people all the time. Listen, I'm okay with Penny being an assassin. I don't want this to sound like I'm poo-pooing on the fact that Kaylee Cuoco is playing an assassin in this movie and a mom and a wife. And I mean, she did a great job, but because of her iconic role as Penny, for a long time, I guess that's on me. I just kept thinking about, her being Penny. So yeah, it is what it is. And that's okay. Listen, that is okay. Matthew McConaughey for years was just the guy from Dazed and Confused. All right. You know, the pot smoking guy who hung around the high school kids when he was way older than he should have been. And he says creepy lines like, you know what I like? Every year I get a little bit older, but they stay the same age. You know, this creepy dude. Anyway, but then fast forward, Matthew McConaughey gets into the time period where he starts having kids and he gets to be a really serious actor and does things like True Detective and Dallas Buyers Club. And in both incidents, you stop thinking about him as Matthew McConaughey, Mr. All right. And he's good in Mud. He's good. You know, he hit a stride there where you stop thinking about, hey, this is, I'm watching Matthew McConaughey do this thing. And you buy into them being that character. That's the moments that they win awards. I don't know if Kaylee will ever get to that point. She won't with this character. But I mean, you got to take chances. You got to try. And she's trying. So it's cool. It's worth watching. It's decent. I mean, if you like watching a cool assassin movie where someone's trying to do a double life thing and eventually they have to tell all their secrets and figure out how to overcome the odds, and then it's fine and you'll like it. I liked it. Then there was a movie that was highly touted as being the coolest thing ever, man. It's the new Star Wars movie called The Creator. Okay. And I'm sure you've seen ads for it because they really wanted people to go to the theater to see it. There was a lot of money thrown into go see this. Okay. So I watched it. It's on Hulu. The Creator. First off, weird title. Not the best title. The rundown for The Creator. Here, let me find the overview because I kind of wanted you to hear this part. This is the rundown for the Creator. As a future war between human race and artificial intelligence rages on, an ex-Special Forces agent, Joshua, hey, that's me, not really, is recruited to hunt down and kill the creator, the elusive architect of the advanced AI. The creator has developed a mysterious weapon that has the power to end war and all of mankind. As Joshua and his team of elite operatives venture into enemy-occupied territory, they soon discover that the world-ending weapon is actually an AI in the form of a young child.
Aww. Aww.
So they spent $80 million making this. Apparently it was in the box office and it made $104 million, so it barely made money. But it made money, all the same. Here's what I enjoyed about the creator. First off, the main actor, John David Washington, I've seen him in other stuff, and I was going, what have I seen him in? He is the son of Denzel and Paulette Washington. So, yeah, definitely has some acting background. He's been in a lot of things. I watched him in Tenet. I've also seen him play football. He played for the Rams. He was signed by, he played college at Morehouse, and then he was signed by the St. Louis Rams. He was an undrafted free agent in 2006. There's talks of him possibly becoming the new King the Conqueror in the Marvel Universe. Yeah. John David Washington. And he's a movie star. Listen, this role, this is a good role for him. It shows a lot of dynamic range. It shows his athleticism. It shows his heart. He's everything that his dad was, with a lot of groundwork already done. Yeah, he's fantastic in this. The movie's okay. The movie's decent. I will say, I don't think this is worth what they paid for it, just because, I don't know, I guess because the statements were said all along that, oh, this is going to be the next Star Wars. First off, shut up, it's not. I like the futuristic look on AI and how it's going to affect the world and how we as people are known for our false flag events to create war for no reason other than to create war, because war is big business. That's the undertone of the whole thing. And that's very true. There's a lot of actors in this that you're going to recognize. One guy I was really surprised to see was country music star Sturgill Simpson. I didn't know he acted, but yeah, there he is on the screen. How about that? Everybody did a great job in this. The special effects are great. They won awards for the special effects for this movie. The young girl that he's supposed to protect. Oh, spoiler alert. The young girl he's supposed to protect in this, the AI child, is adorable. And it has a lot of elements that I could see makes this a very successful project. But I think this is a one and done movie, not a Star Wars event. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for what it was. There's a lot of actors in this. A lot of people lended their voices to things. A lot of people were in small little bits here and there. I enjoyed it. So yeah, The Creator. Check it out. All right, moving forward. Only Murders in the Building, Season 3. I've talked about Only Murders before. Martin Short, Steve Martin, Selena Gomez. This season, they added in Meryl Streep. Ooh, Meryl Streep, Oscar winner, 3-time Oscar winner, Meryl Streep. Oh, Paul Rudd. I was pleasantly surprised to see Paul Rudd playing a character that was very distasteful. But funny. I mean, it's a neat role for him. Yeah, and this season also Matthew Broderick. So that was kind of cool. The show is weird. Because the first season, my wife and I really, really loved. We got into it right away. And there were still a couple of episodes in between that they tried to, in my opinion, kind of overreach fantasy ideals of a play, a musical, an imagination inside of one of the characters, Martin Short's character, Oliver Putnam. He's supposed to be a theater producer. So every episode, every season has gone a little bit further into this theater portion till this season, where it all surrounds a theater act. And because of that, there's a lot more theater. There's a lot more song and dance. There's a lot more weird dreams and adaptations of things where episodes go by and my wife and I are both like, this has got to get better for us to keep watching this. But listen, I watched the whole thing. She and I both watched it recently. We maybe watched 6th episode yesterday, and I got to say, they still pulled it off. They still pulled off a show that was awesome. The writing is weird because there's so much in the beginning that is just silly and odd, and it's all meant to misdirect you to think of maybe this person did it, maybe that person did it. I mean, if I look at the whole thing from the outside in, I got to think to myself, okay, you guys did a good job of making us not know who the killer was and constantly think, well, maybe it's that person, or maybe it's her, or maybe it's him, or maybe they did a good job. Okay. I got to say, though, Martin Short and Steve Martin are, you can see the age really starting to hit them hard. And they're addressing it on the show. They're talking about it a lot. And for a lot of the show, we're Googling people's ages because we're like, how old are they? Holy cow. They look good for that age, or otherwise. So, yeah. Is that their real hair? I wonder. A lot of that conversation going on. But yeah, Only Murders in the Building. And my wife made a comment. She goes, how did Selena Gomez get hooked up with these two guys to do this show? Were they just like that close of buddies? They're like, we got a project. We're going to do it. I don't know. But yeah, because of the success of the show, and I guess because of the tie-in with New York and with Tina Fey and with, you know, Steve Martin and Martin Short being such juggernauts, and Selena Gomez, you know, doing a little bit of everything with music and television and everything else, it's sort of a project that now people are like, I want to be on. So I guess they can make it a little bit cheaper because people want to be on it. I don't know if that's real, but I'm open to it. So anyway, Only Murders in the Building, season 3. I'm sure there'll be a season 4. They've already set up the premise. So we'll see. I did have to Google Matthew Broderick's name because I was like, how do you spell Matthew? Because, you know, people spell it with sometimes with 2 T's. Some people spell it with without an A. I don't know. Listen, I work in a job where I see a lot of names come through my desk, and I'm amazed at how people spell Jonathan 40 different ways. So I had to look up Matthew. Anyway, enough of that. Enough of this. Go on with your day. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. I appreciate everything about this. I'm thankful to be able to do it. I know that for some of you, this is entertainment. For some of you, this is a job. For some of you, this is, I tell my wife, I was like, you're really my executive producer. I don't think you fully understand the fact that you kind of help craft this, even though you're not here with me most of the time. She does, and she listens to every episode, and I thank her. And my mother, of course, who can't not listen. There's some episodes I do where I'm thinking, I really wish you didn't listen to this one, but whatever. Yeah, thank you. It's all part of it, right? It's all part of the stuff that makes the project, that makes the thing that people go, wow, you did it. Yeah. So till next time, we'll do it again. Appreciate it. Please take a moment, rate, review, subscribe, share this with your friends. And as always, I end this by saying, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Moo, baby.